You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here at William Hill. We've got a big weekend of football to look forward to. The four FA Cup quarter-finals take place. We'll find out who are the semi-finalists by the end of this weekend. And we've got a big weekend of Premier League football where Liverpool can try and go back top of the table once again. My name is Mark Walton, joined on the line by Derek McGovern. How are you, Derek?
Very well, very well.
Good man, good man. And we've got the guest from the FWA this week. It's the Mirror's Mike Walters. How are you, Mike?
Hi there, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Big weekend, isn't it? FA Cup quarterfinals are always very entertaining. We could see some big changes at the top of the Premier League as well. Superb stuff to look forward to.
Absolutely. It's just from a personal point of view, I always think it's sad that they've shifted the FA Cup semi-finals to Wembley. I preferred it in the old days when FA Cup semi-finals were played at neutral club grounds like Villa Park or Old Trafford. I think that if you get to Wembley once in the semi-finals, for some clubs, that almost feels like enough. Whereas getting to Wembley should really be a holy grail for a final, for a major cup final. But I don't think anybody will turn their nose up at it, put it that way.
No, I agree with you there, though, and I'm sure Derek probably has opinions on it as well. It should be that you get one chance to get to Wembley, and that's when you're in the final, shouldn't it, Derek?
Well, yeah, it's one of the many things, one of the many changes they made to the competition. That's absolutely wrecked it. You know, all these no replays and putting the cup final on at the same weekend as Premier League games. It's just, you know, it used to be, you'd look forward as a kid all season to the FA Cup final. Now it's just basically an afterthought. I think I don't even think I've watched the last three.
Fair enough. Derek's not a fan. There's some teams that could get to the FA Cup final that, you know, won't get many chances at it. You've got Watford and Palace in one of them. Swansea take on Man City, they're dreaming. Wolves and Millwall and Brighton. These are teams that they don't normally get this far in the competition and won't have been to the final very often. So quite an interesting weekend. The first of the FA Cup quarterfinals is between Watford and Crystal Palace. If you go by Premier League standings, it's 8th against 14th. Crystal Palace have lost twice already against Watford this season. And given where Watford are in the Premier League, it's something we've mentioned a few times during the build-up to these quarterfinals, Derek. They should be having a real cracker. This. They're 11-8 to win the match, 9-4 for the draw, and 2-1 for Crystal Palace. I was personally leaning towards Watford here. What about yourself?
Well, yeah, but it's the old chestnut with Palace, isn't it? Palace away from home. You know, you can't write them off easily. You can when they're at Selhurst Park. They're absolutely useless there. But away from home, they're always priced a decent price away from home. And yet they should be shorter on the road than they are at home. They've scored 11 goals at home this season, 25 away. So I don't easily write them off. In fact, it's a tough one to call this in common with the other five. We're going to talk about Palace do all their best work away from home, as I say. Not sure when Watford do their best work, usually when I've opposed them. I don't know what to think. I looked at the odds and I thought, Watford are a bigger price than I thought they'd be, 11-8. But then you realise, then at home, back to the fact that you just can't write off Palace away from home. I'm going to go for a draw, basically, because I haven't got a clue.
27-20 now, Watford. The price has changed as we're recording there. What about yourself, Mike? Which way would you lean here?
Well, look, historically, games between Watford and Palace have been too close to call. Actually, since 2013, when they were promotion rivals, there's never been more than one goal either way in any of the games they've played against each other, and sometimes no goals at all. It's actually an historic fixture, this one, because I can't find any other example of it ever having happened again. But for the fourth consecutive home game, Watford will be welcoming back a former manager in the opposition dugout. In the last three Premier League games at Vicarage Road, they've had Sean Dyche come back with Burnley. Marco Silva with Everton, and a couple of weeks ago, Brendan Rodgers with Leicester, and Roy Hodgson's right-hand man at Palace is Ray Lewington, who actually was the manager when Watford reached a cup semi-final, FA Cup semi-final in 2003. That was
that
the
happens,
first of
Mike.
Four...
When you sack every manager in Europe, that tends to happen, that kind of sequence.
I'd point out that those four managers left Watford at reasonably even intervals of, I think, one Lewington left in 2005, Rodgers in 2009, Fyshe in 2012, and Marco Silva last year. So they've been pretty evenly spaced out. But indeed of the results between the two teams, as I say, there's never been more than one goal in it. And if I was a betting man, I would bank on it being just as tight again. I can't see anybody winning it 2 or 3 nil. I think there'll be no more than one goal in it either way. Wouldn't surprise me at all if it went to penalties.
Okay, both teams haven't conceded a single goal in the FA Cup either this season, so that kind of lends itself to a low-scoring affair here. I'll get the price for unders on the goals in just a second. I've just got a stat, though, that I'm sure you'll love here, Derek. Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson has lost both of his FA Cup quarter-finals as a manager, lost with Fulham in 2009 and 2010 against Manchester United and Tottenham, respectively. And you're not his biggest fan, are you, Derek?
Well, the only thing that surprises me there is that he's actually taken clubs that far. I mean, the guy is an absolute myth. I can't still believe he gets employed by a Premier League club. He wouldn't be in charge of my Sunday League club.
If you do fancy to be long...
A bit harsh for a bloke who's managed England.
That was the low point of his career, I think. And of every England fan's career as well.
Under 2.5 goals, by the way, 4-6. If you think it will be as tight as Micah said there, and you think the odd goal can nick this, under 1.5 goals is 9-4, which isn't a bad play. And in terms of selection from Derek, he went with a draw, which is also 9-4. Could be a tight one there. If you fancy either side, then we do have the enhanced odds. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win has been enhanced to 7-2 from 3-1. And Wilfred Zaha to score in Palace and Palace to win. That's 9-2 out to 11-2, and Wilfred Zaha is once again proving to be key man for Palace. That might be an interesting way in, but the overall opinion, a tight one, and low on the goals there in that first that we look at. The second is a very interesting tie. We've got Championship Swansea taking on Premier League champions Manchester City. 18-1 for the Swans. The draw is 15-2, and Manchester City are 1-8. Swansea largely inconsistent. They've got a bit of an Oxo pattern to their results, but they are 7 unbeaten at home in all competitions. City have been almost flawless, won 9 of their last 10 in 90 minutes in all competitions, and that one that wasn't a win in 90 minutes was also a win because they won the League Cup final on penalties. A lot of people will be looking at Man City here, Mike, and just thinking, how can we get a decent price about them in any form? Do you think it will be as easy as that for Pep's men?
I don't think it'll be as easy as scoring 9 against Burton, 7 against Rotherham, 6 against Chelsea, 7 against Schalke. They're away from home, and lest we forget, Newport actually gave them a decent run for their money for half the game down there, didn't they? But normally I would froth at the mouth and scoff at odds of 18-1 against Swansea in a two-horse race, but I'm afraid that's probably an accurate reflection of their chances. Look, Man City lost to Wigan in the FA Cup last year, didn't they? So never say never, but I'd be very, very surprised if they came unstuck.
Do you think they win it easily enough? I mean, you said you don't think it'd be 7 or 8-0, but it could still be 3 or 4-0 and pretty comfortable, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was in the end, it was pretty comfortable against Newport, wasn't it? But they've just got so much firepower all over the pitch. They don't seem remotely bothered by all these various, all the threats of various inquiries from the Premier League, from FIFA, UEFA, whoever, into financial fair play affairs. They just keep knocking over teams on the pitch like, you know, like knocking over Skittles in the bowling alley. I just don't see Swansea having the firepower at one end or the resistance at the other. To make it anything other than an away win, simple as.
Man City to win and over 2.5 goals in the game, if you put them together, by the way, it's still heavily odds on. That's 2-5, so you've got to probably go for City to win and something like 3 or more goals, or 4 or more goals rather, yeah, in the game, which is 10-11, which isn't necessarily unfathomable at that kind of price. What about yourself, Derek? Have you got any gems of wisdom to get as a price on this game?
Well, you've been listening to me on this podcast for a few years, Mark. You know that's never the case. It all depends what kind of team City will play. Well, I can tell you, they're playing a crap team called Swansea. I just hope it goes to pens, because I hope that clown takes one. You see the penalty on Wednesday night against West Brom?
Yeah, jeez, that was some penalty, that, wasn't it?
You know what struck me about that? I mean, it was hilarious. But how close were those West Brom? They must have been encroaching because the ball had only moved an inch and James McLean was hooping it clear. I only saw it on the internet, so I don't know how close they were, but it just seemed bizarre. But yeah, what a laugh that was. City are favourites for everything they enter on, everything they're in. I think they took James Jordan to extra time in the final of Dancing on Ice at the weekend. It's just ridiculous. For some reason, I had a vague idea. This is how clueless I am. I had a vague idea. Swansea were on the fringes of the Championship playoff, the 15th on the same number of points as Blackburn. There's a clue how bad they are. Palace went there earlier in the season and beat them in the League Cup. There's another clue. They lost to Norwich last week without scoring, lost to West Brom midweek without scoring. Maybe they had an eye on the FA Cup, in which case they're absolutely dreaming. City will win this in the cakewalk. And yeah, okay, City, but 1-8, I think they are to win in 90 minutes. Nobody, unless you've got the money Mike Walters has got, will be on that. But 10-11 minus two goals, I think that looks nailed on.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. In terms of goal scorers, it's hard as well to pick one out for City because they've got that many and you don't really know who's going to start this game. But Gabriel Jesus, or Jesus rather I should call him, has been involved in 10 goals in 6 domestic cup starts this season for City. He's scored 7, 3 assists, and he's scored 3 goals in his 2 previous appearances against Swansea as well. He is 13-20 to score any time, which of course is a bigger price than Manchester City. If he plays, I think he could be certainly worth a look. I've got a great stat here as well. You know, you pour through the stats for these kind of games, and Manchester City have created, they're used to creating plenty of history out there. This could be their biggest achievement to date. They could become just the second team to win 2 away FA Cup matches in Wales in a single season, having already beaten Newport. Norwich beat Rhyl and Newport back in 1951. I'm sure they're aiming at that.
Derek remembers that.
Real, seen of many knee tremblers, real, never knock it.
So people are going to be agreeing with this, I'm sure. But City to win and win pretty comfortably seems to be the overriding opinion there as they take on Swansea on Saturday. We've also got Wolves against Manchester United on Saturday as well. Wolves are 11-5, the draw 9-4. Manchester United are 5-4. Wolves, of course, performed well this season against the Big Six teams, and only a late Chelsea equaliser denied them a big result at Stamford Bridge last weekend. It's been a funny old week for Manchester United. A huge win away in Paris in the Champions League, and then they're beaten by Arsenal last weekend. So where do you stand with Manchester United at the moment, Derek? Are you with this Ole Gunnar Solskjaer bandwagon, or you're taking them on here?
I don't know. It's a tough business predicting things, isn't it? I said it a long time ago and I've been proven right. This one really is hard to call. On the one hand, you've got Man United, they've only lost that one game, as you say, under Solskjaer. On the other hand, you've got 5 fingers. It's just one of those that I look at it and I can make a case for Wolves. I can make a case for Man United. I am on the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer bandwagon, by the way. Yeah, they got a bit, they got chastened a little bit by Arsenal, but he's done absolutely everything right. And it makes you wonder when you look at it now why they waited so long to get rid of the other clown, Marino, and bring him in. He's done wonders. I thought Wolves would have been lambs to the slaughter last week against Chelsea because I thought they had all their eyes on this match, the FA Cup. They'd even played their number 2 goalie in the league, who plays in the FA Cup matches in the league the week before to warm them up for it. So I thought that's a big sign that they're not interested. But they played fantastically against Chelsea. And you're right, you can't write them off against the big clubs. There's something about the way the big clubs set up suits Wolves down to the ground. What I'm saying is that this is another match I haven't got a clue about. United are too short at 5-4. But they're playing so well that I wouldn't back against them either. I'll have to go for the draw again.
Going for the draw then, 11-5. Manchester United looking to reach the FA Cup semi-final in consecutive seasons, by the way, for the first time since they were managed by a certain Sir Alex Ferguson. Are Wolves going to get in the way of that, Mike? What are your thoughts here?
I don't think so. I was at Chelsea against Wolves last weekend, and Wolves played very well, although it must be said they didn't waste too much energy getting in the opposition half of the pitch for most of the game. They were sort of camped pretty much for the entire 90 minutes around their own box, and did it very well, by the way. That's not a criticism. Wolves have already knocked Liverpool out of the FA Cup, lest we forget. So if they do get to Wembley, they'll certainly have done it the hard way. I just think that United's only genuine chance of a trophy this season, Champions League notwithstanding, but I still don't think they're going to win the Champions League despite that result in Paris. The FA Cup's their best bet of a pot. I think their need is greater than Wolves. Wolves are will be largely content, and why not, with a few pats on the back for how well they've done as a promoted team this season. I just think United's need is greater. I just think United will nick it by the odd goal. But again, pretty close to call. Wolves will not roll over and have their tummies tickled by anybody. But I just think United will have a little bit too much firepower when it counts, if push comes to shove.
It's not a bad price either about Manchester United, 5-4. I know that Wolves are pretty good against the bigger sides, but I did think Manchester United might be a little bit shorter than that, given the run they've been on.
Agreed.
Yeah, 1-0 to Manchester United is 13-2, by the way, and 2-1 is 8-1. So a couple of nice prices if you fancy them to nick it by the odd goal there. And yeah, it's quite a tricky one to call. I mean, to qualify market could be one to consider here as well. Wolves 6-5 in that market, Manchester United 8-13. That would cover if it went to extra time and penalties as well. So could be a tight one at Molineux. We've got Millwall against Brighton in the last of the quarterfinals. We're going to look at Millwall 5-2, the draw 11-5. Brighton are 23-20. Millwall's FA Cup record is actually very, very good. It's their 11th FA Cup quarterfinal as a non-top flight team. There's only Southampton that have reached more FA Cup quarterfinals whilst outside of the top flight, and since the start of the 2016-2017 campaign, Millwall have won 4 FA Cup ties against Premier League opponents, which is more than any other non-Premier League side during that time. They are in a precarious position in the league, though. They're just hovering narrowly above the relegation zone in the Championship. Is a cup run necessarily what they'd want here, or it's one of those, isn't it, Mike, where you kind of say a cup run will boost morale, but it also means more games and can be a problem if you're trying to fight relegation? Where do you think Millwall stand on this?
I think Millwall are going to be okay in the Championship. They won 2-0 at Birmingham the other night, didn't they? And I think they're going to be okay against Brighton in terms of feeling at home in their hostile atmosphere. That's not a criticism. It's just a fact of life. If you go to the Den, you're going to need earplugs. You're going to need physical courage. You're going to need physical courage to do the simple things like walk across the touchline and pick up the ball to take a throw-in, because there won't be people over the other side of the fence saying, "Here, our old chap, have the ball back." They'll be giving you some slightly more pertinent advice, I suspect. And you need physical courage to play at the Den. And if Brighton overcome that first hurdle, then I think they'll be okay. I think Brighton will win. But if they are found wanting in any shape or form in terms of the hostility and the noise and and just the general brouhaha of playing a cup tie at the Den, I can see them coming unstuck. It's, again, the proverbial close one to call. If it comes down to quality, I think Brighton will win, but I'm not at all sure that quality is necessarily going to be the first thing that gets applied on the pitch in a cup tie of this nature.
Yeah, they did get that big win in midweek, didn't they, Millwall? So that's kind of eased the pressures there, and they can maybe concentrate on this. Brighton as well, they've got a very good record at the end. They've lost none of their last 6 visits to Millwall, all in league competition between 2009 and 2015. It's not a ground that a lot of people like going to, Derek, but it seems that Brighton don't mind it.
Yeah, particularly Millwall fans, I think. I think you need physical courage to watch this game, because it ain't going to be a Lulu, is it? It's a match between a side desperate to stay out of the Championship and one desperate to stay in it. We know Chris Hughton's tactics for Brighton, 2 banks of 12. They stood up to the battle at Crystal Palace last week, their big rivals, and got a great result. 2 unbelievable goals, sensational goals last week by them. I like what I've seen from Brighton recently. I think they've won 2 on the run as well, haven't they? It's got to be a world record for Brighton now. They reached a quarter-final last season. I can't remember that happening. And I can't remember Millwall reaching all those quarter-finals that you told me about. That must have been while I was on holiday or something.
Yeah, you don't watch the FA Cup anyway, either.
That rules out 51 weeks of the year, Dill.
Well, they lost before that Birmingham game. They lost 4 successive Championship matches. And I thought, if they had an eye in this FA Cup tie, they'll probably lose that one as well. But that was an unbelievable result. That makes me think that that was the big match, not this one for them. So in the absence of a stronger case for Brighton, I'm latching onto that one and I'm going for Brighton, because I think they've turned the corner now, the Seagulls, and what I saw from them last week against Palace, I was very impressed.
The price of Brighton, 23-20. Are you having Brighton against Palace as a derby then, Derek, or was that tongue-in-cheek when you mentioned that?
Well, no, that's what they say, isn't it? It's a derby, isn't it? I'm a northerner. It baffles me how, because it is, a million miles away, but there must be a reason for it. I'm sure Wally will tell us.
Well, it's a derby in the same sense that Liverpool v Man United is a derby, isn't it? I know that the Merseyside derby and the Manchester derby are two separate entities, but the distance between Liverpool and United is roughly the same as the distance between Palace and Brighton, so take your pick. I mean, the derbies necessarily have to be defined by proximity, or are they defined by rivalry? If they're defined by rivalry...
It has to be the same city. Liverpool. You call Liverpool v Man United the derby in Liverpool.
I'm not saying. But it's a red letter fixture, isn't it? It's a long established rivalry, and it's regarded by outsiders, if you like, as a derby type fixture because of the intensity of the rivalry. I'm not saying it is a local derby because obviously Liverpool have got neighbours across Stanley Park they can walk to. I mean, it's not a derby in that sense. But if derby is defined by rivalry, then Palace and Brighton have been enemies for more than 40 years now, haven't they?
So there you go, that's cleared it up. It's not a derby, it's a rivalry. There we go.
Exactly.
And it's all about birds, isn't it? It's the fight between seagulls and eagles, and we'll see who comes out on top. Anyway, that's nonsense. Let's move on to the Premier League matches that we have this weekend, because we're going to have a big bearing on the top end and the bottom end of the Premier League, particularly in the first of them that we look at. Fulham against Liverpool. 11-1 about Fulham. The draw is 5-1. Liverpool are 1-4. A big result in midweek for Liverpool in the Champions League, knocking Bayern Munich out. They can go back to the top of the Premier League because City are in FA Cup action. I think they actually play twice in the Premier League before City do again. So that means that they can establish a bit of a lead and a bit of a buffer, and perhaps hope that that is enough for them. We'll come to you first, Derek, with it being Liverpool. Can you see any way they don't beat Fulham here this weekend?
No, but does that mean the great bet at 1-4? No, it's a bit short, isn't it, 1-4? I remember the game at Anfield where Fulham actually gave a very good account of themselves. I think they lost it 3-1 in the end, but I thought, this isn't a bad team, this. And they've cost me absolute bundles every time I've backed them since. What a mug I am. I mean, it didn't get any better for Fulham when they replaced Djokanovic. Djokanovic with Ranieri. It hasn't gone much better since they replaced Ranieri with Scott Parker. I think maybe they just appointed all three of them at the same time. I'm not sure Ranieri was sacked, by the way. I think he turned himself in because he was an absolute disaster there. And Parker's not shaping up much better. He's saying his players lack belief. Almost certainly in him, I'd say. I just can't see it. You know, this is a team that a few weeks ago, if they thought they were going to get out of trouble, you might have seen it in their performances a few weeks ago. But they keep getting pasted and pasted and pasted. So, I'm sorry, it's got to be Liverpool. I'll probably go Liverpool without Fulham scoring. I know that Fulham did bang in a few goals early in the season. He kept losing or something, like 9-2 or something. But I just can't see them scoring. Liverpool's defence are looking pretty tight at the moment.
Even money for Liverpool to win 2-0. There was that great bit of social media, weren't there, after the Bayern game, saying 75% of the earth is covered by water and the rest is covered by Virgil van Dijk. Can you see past Liverpool here, Mike?
No, I can't. I agree with Del. Any club that requires three managers in the same season is usually going on the road to nowhere. I think the only hope I would give Fulham, and it's a very, very faint hope, is they would have to keep a clean sheet to beat Liverpool. And I just don't see that happening. If you want a clean sheet, go to a hotel laundry or Brentford Nylons, because you ain't going to get one at Craven Cottage. That's been Fulham's big undoing this season. They've never really settled on consistently picked the same back five or back four. None of the combinations have been any good, frankly. For Fulham to stand a chance, they'd have to nick it 1-0, and I just don't see Liverpool not scoring.
Yeah, I get that. The 3-1 that Derek mentioned earlier on in the season, I think, is something we could see similar here. I think Liverpool will score anyway. I'm not necessarily sure about Fulham. They've lost a league high of 17 Premier League matches by a margin of 2 or more goals this season. That's the second most a side has ever lost by 2 or more in a 38-game season. The other team to do that was Fulham themselves when they lost 19 during 2014. So they're on for breaking their own record. And... Liverpool have got a ruthless record against newly promoted sides, 1-10 and drawn 1. They've won their last 8 in a run. A lot of flack for Mo Salah that he doesn't do it against the big teams. He definitely does it against the newly promoted sides. He's had a hand in 12 goals in his last 8 Premier League appearances against newly promoted sides, 6 goals and 6 assists. So he could be worth a look to get on the score sheet. Liverpool to win in over 2.5 goals, if you think it's going to go that way, is 8-13. But I also like the look of Liverpool to win and over 4 or more goals in the match. So that's 3-1, 4-1, 4-0 or whatever. 13-10, bit of odds against about Liverpool in that particular market. I think they won't, well, I'm pretty certain they won't slip up given how well this week has gone for them. Let's talk about their neighbours over Stanley Park, Everton. They take on Chelsea this week. 3-1 for Everton. The draw is 27-10, and Chelsea are 88-100. We'll come to you first, Mike, if we may. Only two wins since mid-January for Everton. They've really struggled for form. You can cherry-pick some decent results, but how do you see them getting on against Chelsea, who themselves haven't been all that impressive since the turn of the year?
Yeah, it's a bit of a difficult one to call this, isn't it? Because neither, you wouldn't put your mortgage on either of them in the current climate, would you? Everton must wish they could play Liverpool every week. It's the only way they can keep a clean sheet, isn't it? But they've got two. They played well enough in the derby. They played well at Anfield when they lost to that, was it 95th, 96th minute winner by Origi in the game across Stanley Park. But the problem with Everton is they don't score enough goals at home. And if Richarlison doesn't score them, there's not enough goals coming from other sources. Difficult game to call in the sense that, like I say, you wouldn't put your hat on either of them this season. They've both been infuriating at different times for different reasons. It seems like a long time ago now that Chelsea went up to Goodison Park and scored six, didn't they, under Mourinho? What was that, 2014, 2015, I think? Can't see there being many goals in this one. If I fancied anybody, it would be Chelsea, but not really an awful lot to choose between them. It's like, I'm afraid by their by reputation, it's a couple of sort of these two teams. Are sort of, it's like choosing between two mediocrities, isn't it?
It is. It's a tough one to call. I know you need to go, Mike, as well. You've got some FA Cup interviews to do. So just before we let you go, do you have a best favourite opinion or a best bet for this week?
A best bet for this week. My best bet for this week would be unmistakably Watford v Palace. No, the winning margin to be no more than a single goal in it either way, if at all. I think you quoted the price earlier on of a score 1-0 or 2-1 either way, around about 13-8, I think, wasn't it? And that would be my best punt. Watford v Palace will be the closest of the FA Cup quarterfinals.
Okay, narrow on the goals and a tight one as Watford take on Palace. Thank you very much for joining us, Mike. Been a pleasure having you on, and enjoy this weekend.
Thanks a lot.
I'll come to you next, Derek. Pretty tight, this, isn't it? Everton against Chelsea. It's hard to call. Two teams that have really disappointed given what they've got this season. How do you see this one turning out?
Yeah, it is tough to call. I mean, look, the odds suggest that Chelsea are rated good things by the bookies. But they're not playing well enough, are they, to be back their odds on away from home? I know you're on the bare form. Four wins and two draws in their last six before Thursday's game. And you think, well, what's wrong with that? You know, that's pretty good. But it's the manner of the performances, particularly against Wolves last season. It was 0-0 at Chelsea early in the season. This one at Everton last season was 0-0. It's going to be close again, isn't it? Two managers in Marco Silva and Maurizio Sarri might not be at the club next season. And every time I watch Sarri, he wears the expression of a man asked by a lady friend to hold her handbag. Never seems to smile, never seems to be enjoying himself. And for a lot of the games, not many of the fans have either. They should be doing an awful lot better. Yeah, I look at that Chelsea team and I think they're a top-class striker away from winning a lot. They haven't got one. That's the problem. And I don't think Higuain is the answer either. I've got to go. I'm going to go for low on the goals here. I'm a bit clueless on this game, but I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals just because I just can't see it being a bonanza.
Okay, I'll just get the price up on under 1.5 goals, the odd goal to potentially nick it, or you've got 0-0 on your side there as well. Under 1.5 is 12-5, which is bigger than I expected. Would you say
it is? That's the reason I've gone for it.
Very good. What's your best bet for this weekend, Derek?
Well, there are slim pickings, aren't there, in these games? I'm going to have to go for the one I think is an absolute. Not often I'll go for odds on in my nap of the week, you know that. But City minus 2 at 10-11. I just can't. I mean, I'm going to demand payment as soon as I put the bet on. You know, today.
Yeah, fair enough. I would go for Liverpool and four or more goals in the match. Might be just a little bit ambitious, but 13-10, I think they'll be far too good for Fulham. I've been less than impressed with Fulham all season. I don't think the change of manager is going to help. And Liverpool, buoyed by that midweek success in the Champions League, knowing that they can reassert back at the top of the Premier League, I think we'll see a big performance from Liverpool this weekend. So that would be the way that I go. Thank you very much, Derek. Been a pleasure as always. Best of luck with your bets and selections there.
Thanks.
And enjoy it this weekend.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
So that's the FA Cup and the Premier League taken care of then. Let's have a look across Europe and get this week's Euro Nap.
Alex Dunn here, and the Euronap moves to France this weekend, and we're going for the big one, Paris against Marseille. Now, Paris Saint-Germain, of course, since being knocked out of the Champions League by Manchester United, have all of a sudden got very little to play for this season. They will win the league, but it's a question of how they do it, really, and when they do it. Marseille, on the other hand, still have plenty to play for, and I do enjoy watching them. They are an entertaining side to watch, and as such, I can certainly give them a goal away in the capital. Their fans will be travelling north. They normally travel north without much expectation. They may be doing so again here. They generally don't score as well when they visit Paris Saint-Germain, but I think they will here. Paris will still win, but I'm going to take Paris Saint-Germain to win and both teams to score at 13-10. Good luck with your bets this week.
Well, thank you to Alex there for the Euro nap this week. And now let's take a look at the Football League. Plenty to look at in the Championship, League One and League Two. And as always, Pete Farries will take care of the Championship. Gav Puszulowski looks at League One. And Al Ross gives us his best bet in League Two.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and for my Championship nap this week, I think it's a very interesting price. Hull are 21-20. Now, they have lost three of their last five games. They, okay, have conceded a lot in that period as well. They conceded five at Brentford, three at Forest, three at Norwich. But the word there is at, because at home, they've won four of the last five games, have beaten everyone barring Rotherham, have looked really good, have scored goals, and do seem difficult to stop. Their opponents are QPR. QPR have lost their last five league games in a row. Generally speaking, they have been struggling to score a lot of goals, and they were the team that gave Rotherham their first away win in living memory. Hull are odds against. That price to me is incredible. I hope it holds by the time you get your bet on Saturday, but it's very simple for me, this one. The bet, the nap of the week in the Championship, is Hull at 21-20. Whatever you're backing, very best of luck. Let's head to Gav Puszulowski and get his thoughts on League One.
There's no outright price that's jumping out at me in League One this weekend, so I'm going to go for the same bet that I put up regarding Luton 2 weekends ago and Barnsley last weekend. Both landed. So this time it is Sunderland minus one at 5-4 at home to Warsaw. Now, these teams have already met three times this season, once in the league, that was a draw, and twice in the FA Cup. First game at Warsaw, a draw. Replay at Sunderland, Warsaw actually won by goal to nil. Bit of an upset. But this is the league, and I'm expecting a completely different outcome. Sunderland at home are scoring plenty of goals. Two against Accrington, okay, they drew 2-2. But 4-2 victory against Gillingham and 2-0 at home to Plymouth. So Sunderland are scoring plenty at home. And Warsaw away from home haven't scored in their last three games on their travels. And Warsaw have lost 8 in 12 on their travels. And 6 of those defeats, minus 1, has landed. So when Warsaw lose, it tends to be quite heavy. So Sunderland minus 1 at 5-4 is my nap in League One this weekend. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
There's only one team in League Two that can boast 4 wins in a row, and that is Tranmere Rovers, who have only conceded 2 goals in the last 7 games, and they are taking on an Oldham Athletic side who, under Paul Scholes, have not been going great. Yes, Scholes won his first game against Yeovil Town. Since then, draw against Crewe, 3 defeats and 2 draws in the last 5 games. That's 2 points from a possible 15. Tranmere Rovers, 15 points from a possible 15. And a guy who's banging in the goals, James Norwood, 9 in his last 11, and 11-8 any time has to be looked at. Now, try and tell me why Oldham Athletic are a shade of odds against, and Tranmere Rovers are 5-2 to win this one this weekend. Given Tranmere's defensive record, you could go for Tranmere to win to nil. The outright is big enough, and that is Tranmere at 5-2.
So that just about does it then. Thank you very much for joining us this week. If you are having a bet in the football, wish you the very best of luck. Do check out those bet boosts and enhanced odds and everything else on the William Hill website as well. Plenty of ways to get a whole heap of value on this weekend's football. Check out the hashtag Your Odds section, and you can request those yourself as well. Hashtag Your Odds to William Hill on Twitter. So that's hashtag Your Odds to at William Hill, and we'll try and price that up. Put it on the website for you as well. Enjoy this weekend, and we'll speak to you again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.